are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back to Mid-Morning Empowerment. You're still tuned in to Adventist World Radio. I have promised you we'll be talking to Dr. Jerry. He's on the line and we are looking at the mental health awareness, obsessive compulsive disorder, common myths and misconceptions. We do have a doctor on the line. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. And you?
I am very well, thank you. Let's get into our conversation for the day. So we are looking at common myths and misconceptions. So OCD is one of the most mispresented mental health conditions in popular culture and everyday speech. Many people are associated with only hand washing or being overly tidy. But it goes far beyond that. So today we are confronting some of the most widespread myths and misconceptions that surrounds OCD and exploring how these misunderstandings can cause harm and stigma. So my first question to you, Doctor, is that what are some of the most common myths and people believe about OCD?
I think the common thing is that it's not an illness. And it's just in your head.
Okay.
We don't have a good understanding of psychiatric conditions. And because it affects our emotional networks, how we manage our emotions, how we express it, we tend to misunderstand it just as behavior. So a nice common myth about OCD is that it's just tidiness,
right?
And it's a way of keeping control over things, and that people with OCD actually get pleasure from repeating actions like washing hands or checking doors. And then another misconception is that having OCD makes you more functional or productive.
Okay. Isn't that true?
No. One of the diagnostic criteria is that the symptoms must actually impair your functioning in more than one area of your life. Because remember from Monday's discussion is that I have these abnormal thoughts and behaviors.
Right.
And I repeat them. In a sort of repeated, we call it a stereotypical manner. So it means you repeat it, but it doesn't have a productive outcome.
Okay.
So, you wanted to ask then?
No. I'm listening. This is interesting. Because I also thought the same thing. I also, if you are OCD, you are like, you want things to be in order.
Yeah, so remember, you have this obsessional thought.
Right.
And there's a fear that something bad might happen.
Okay.
Or that if I do a certain action, I'm going to avoid something bad happening. And then I repeat the behavior, and I only get short-lived relief, not pleasure, just relief, and then I repeat it again and again and again. So some people will check the door 30 times before they can actually leave the house. And if there are other checking behavior, they are often not late. Because the checking is the important thing, not being productive. So if I have an orderly life and I'm more productive, it in as a rule it doesn't tend to be OCD.
Now I understand. Okay. And how can the phrase "I am so OCD" trivialize the condition?
Well, we lose the ability to differentiate between what's normal and abnormal.
Okay.
Because we're using an illness term for normal behavior.
True.
And it seems like we like to have this concept of labeling our behavior. Like it's cool to have some sort of an illness. While it's just okay to be neat and to be orderly. And the other problem is when we call normal behavior abnormal, we make it more difficult for people who have the illness.
Sure.
Because then they also struggle to compare when am I behaving abnormally and when am I behaving normally.
Mm.
And then the other interesting thing that I find is that people use the term I've got OCD to avoid changing their bad behaviors.
True. Okay.
So some people are just selfish and they like to have things in a certain order and they like to control things and people.
Mm.
And by saying they've got OCD, they can avoid that responsibility of accommodating other people in their lives.
My doctor, talking of changing behaviors, can a person with OCD change their behavior, their repeated behavior, like you've mentioned before?
Yes.
Oh.
But it's much, much more difficult for them than for someone who hasn't gotten the illness.
Okay.
I think that's something we're talking about next week in terms of how can they change it.
Right. So what impact do these misconceptions have on people living with OCD?
Well, one of the things we as humans do automatically is that we compare. So I compare my behavior with your behavior.
Hmm.
And when other people are calling themselves unwell, I automatically compare myself with them. And then if I'm not functioning properly and other people are functioning properly, it places a lot of guilt on me and I constantly feel like a failure. And that's one of the big things I see with patients. And also, when you trivialize an illness, it makes it very difficult for the person not to feel guilty when they suffer because of their behavior.
Right.
Because a common misconception is that people think that it's only in my head. I'm difficult or I'm lazy or something in that line. And it's also that negative self concept. So by having this kind of trivialization of the illness, it has a bigger negative impact on people's self-perception.
Sure. So why is it dangerous to assume that OCD is just about cleanliness or order?
Because the cleanliness and order is just a symptom.
Okay.
The illness affects the brain. And the way the brain manages emotions and even thoughts are abnormal.
Okay.
Remember, it's repetitive thoughts that the person hasn't got control over. And the brain takes what is normal in a person's life and give it that abnormal meaning.
Mm.
And then that abnormal fear that comes with it as well, and then the abnormal behaviors.
Mm.
And some of the symptoms are extremely distressing. We spoke a little bit about the different sort of subtypes or presentations of OCD.
Right.
So cleanliness and order is one of it. But some people can have fear of contamination, of murder, of dying, of abusing other people, or having repeated thoughts of profanity against God.
Right.
And that is not pleasurable. So a lot of these patients actually live with a lot of self-condemnation and with guilt, because what they are thinking doesn't fit who they want to be as a person.
So my question is that, so it seems like people with OCD are referred as people who are overly clean or people with order. So should we call those who are overly untidy also, should we say they also have OCD?
No, because it's not an illness.
The reason why I'm asking you this question is because you said it's a repeated behavior. It's some sort of a behavior that can change.
When I'm tidy and if I haven't got an illness,
right,
the tidiness has got different functions.
Okay.
It can be that it's my only work that I've got. So cleaning my house or cleaning my environment is important to me. It gives me reason or purpose in my day.
Right.
If I'm an anxious person, cleaning and keeping things orderly can make me feel in control and thereby reduce my anxiety. Some personality types like to have things orderly, and being neat and clean actually gives them pleasure. So OCD doesn't create pleasure.
Sure.
So you get, when you do the cleanliness, it gives you momentarily relief, but it doesn't give you the pleasure of doing an activity good. So understanding why people are orderly and why they do things well is, you know, is more helpful in describing what they're doing. And it's strange. It's as if we think that being clean and orderly is wrong. So now we, you know, fixing an illness label to that kind of behavior. And being orderly is actually quite good for us because it makes us more productive. It gives us more focus. The problem comes in when the task becomes more important than the person. You know, I'm cleaning my house all the time, and everybody has to be extremely clean because it's more important for me to have a clean house than to have a happy family.
Right.
But that's more about the person than the behavior.
Okay, okay. So this statement you've just said, I just had a question in my mind. So can people with OCD, those people who are overly clean, expect others to behave the same way?
If they don't know it's an illness, they tend to do that.
Oh, okay.
Because they, when it's normal, if I want something to be clean, it's okay to expect my family to respect that wish.
Right.
But if that wish comes from an illness, it doesn't matter what the family does. It never satisfies that thought. So people, the family acting into that belief doesn't help.
Right.
It just worsens the whole OCD cycle. Which is often what we see, is that the family, you know, they behave abnormally. And even though they know the person's got an illness, they think it's going to help.
All right.
But you again must understand that the difference between normal and illness. If it's normal, then I can reason with my family, and my family can reason with me.
With me, yes.
With an illness, I can reason and the family can reason, but the illness doesn't change. Because those repetitive thoughts come from an illness place, not from a need to be overly neat and quiet, not quiet, clean.
Yeah, thank you so much, my doctor. Before I let you go, here's the last question. What are some ways we can correct this myth and in our everyday conversation?
I think one is to be a bit more respectful.
Okay.
To speak about normal habits or illness behavior. And then we can stop labeling our normal behavior. And just use our languages that tends to have a lot of richness to describe what we do. And then also understand the impact of a modern society on our anxiety levels and how that affects our behavior. And by differentiating, you know, we can leave the illness for what it is, so we can respect that. But then we can also enjoy our normal habits, our normal life, and in that grow.
Thank you so much, my doctor, for that. What a powerful, powerful and eye-opening conversation. But before I let you go, can we close this beautiful conversation with a word of prayer? Please pray for us.
Thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us the ability to plan our day and to clean things and to have order. Help us, Father, that we can enjoy that normality and give us the grace to help and support the people around us that have some illness, that struggle with that kind of behavior and that doesn't give them joy and pleasure, Father. And we thank you that your grace is so much bigger than our problems. And we praise your wonderful name for that. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Until next time.
Okay. Thank you. Have a lovely day.
You too, my doctor. What a powerful to our listeners at home. What a powerful conversation. It was an eye-opening conversation for me. I hope you also at home were listening and you grabbed something from this conversation. It was a beautiful one.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.